We've had a go for auto sequence start. The SRB hydraulic power units have started. T-minus 21 seconds, and the solid rocket booster engine gimbal now underway. T-minus 15 seconds.
T-minus 10,
9, 8, 7, 6. We have main engine start. 4, 3, 2, 1, and liftoff. Liftoff, and it has cleared the tower.
Surgeon Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is Insurgent Radio Network calling.
The station with the happy
difference. And this is Tom Metzger, Terrible Tommy, in the Heartland Inn, in the bunker. Ready for another big show here today, right here off stage. Yeah.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581 is the address. Address your mail to either Box Holder or Tom Metzger or the Insurgent. We'll get it, no matter which one you use. Yeah. Yeah, good morning, boys and girls. This is Terrible Tommy at the microphone. Yeah, right here in the bunker, right here way down deep below the rich soil of north central Indiana, right now in Kosciuszko County. Count Kosciuszko was the Polak who came over here and was friends with George Washington and helped him out a lot. And George Washington relied on the advice of Count Kosciuszko as a tactical man in the military and so forth. So after the Revolutionary War, Washington ceded lots and lots of land to Count Kosciuszko. So thus, I live in a county called Kosciuszko County. Yeah. Hey, it's July the 18th, 2014, and it's Freya's Day, Ladies' Day in the bunker. Ladies' Day in the bunker. We got to dig out a good old love song here for the ladies. Just a minute. Let me look around. This is a funny old Ed Harris. You know Ed Harris from the movies. He's a pretty tough guy in the movies. They had him in an interview up in Toronto about his latest movie. And they asked him to comment on it about violence. And so Ed Harris beat on the table with his fist, and then he took a glass and threw it over his shoulder and broke a mirror on the wall and walked out. He said, "That's violence." And that was the end of the symposium on violence. Ended with violence.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the press conference for a history of violence. And I will immediately introduce the people who are here at this panel. Sitting next to me, actor and director, Mr. Ed Harris.
Ed, you wanted to add anything?
Not particularly.
Oh, yeah, you did do one.
I like that.
That. No, What is violence? What is it? You know, that's what the movie's about.
Ladies and gentlemen, on this note, thank you very much for being here.
I love it when actors melt down, politicians or anybody else, and there's a lot of that stuff on YouTube. And Ed Harris, he just demonstrated what violence was, and that was the end of the interview.
Ten years ago, on a cold, dark night, someone was killed neath the town hall light. There were few at the scene, but they all agreed that the slayer ran, looked a lot like me. The judge, he said, "Son, what is your alibi if you were someone not a word, although it meant my life, for I had been in the arms of my best friend's wife. She was these hills in a long black veil. She visits my brain when the night winds wail. Nobody knows, nobody sees, nobody knows but me. The scaffold was high, and eternity was near. She stood in the crowd and shed not a tear. But sometimes at night, when the cold wind moans, in a long black veil, she cries o'er my bones. Yes, she walks these hills in a long black veil. She visits my brain when the night winds wail. Nobody knows, nobody sees, nobody knows but me.
Well, there we go. That was Bobby Bear. That goes out to all the she-wolves. I don't know whether that is a great love song that you might really like or not. I think it's a great song, but it's sort of a dark song. Yeah. Boy, this LGBT crap really gets tiresome, you know, because it's the really the mostly phony-ass hypocrite Christians against the LGBT people, and it goes round and round, and everybody gets on the news, and it gives the Republicans something to yell about, and gives the dissident minority of people who are into LGBT something to fight about, rather than going after the big issues. I see that there's a Massachusetts mayor, I guess. She's a woman. She's going to donate $5 for every angry anti-LGBT caller Glenn Beck sends after us. Well, you know what my opinion is of Glenn Pecker. But you see, the Republicans, they think they can ride these social arguments into the White House. And I think they're mistaken, because they're just chewing on the rug around the edges on all these little side issues, you know. If you're a heterosexual like I am, you're a heterosexual like I am. And so what are you going to do? If someone's a homosexual, they're a homosexual. And homosexuals don't have can't expect heterosexuals to treat them like they would their bosom family. I mean, come on. They can be polite to them and not hang them and drag them behind a car. But this idea that you've got everybody with a dissident opinion or lifestyle, if you don't say you love them and tolerate them and want them all around you, suddenly you're a bad person. Well, this is ridiculous. But this stuff, the Republicans play right into it, because they make such a big-ass deal instead of ignoring a lot of this stuff. A lot of this stuff should just be ignored, because there's much more pressing issues we have before us, to be perfectly honest. And then you got the border kids, and everybody's a migrant now, a migrant. There's no illegal aliens anymore, just migrants. It sounds so benign, people just wandering down the road wanting to get a job, instead of thousands of them clambering over your fences and running through your garden and in the front door of your house and out the back door, or vice versa. So But it's amazing that this obsession by the progressives that anything like this, you're just supposed to, oh, that's okay. We'll drop everything, spend all every dime we've got taking care of people who are migrants. But yet the same people bitch about the government all the time, and they bitch about the taxes all the time, and on it goes. So another issue, why aren't they arguing about how come Simpson Mazzoli, under that phony president, war criminal Ronald Reagan, did not enforce? The law was there, Simpson Mazzoli. It was to remove several million, remove them, round them up, like Eisenhower did in the 50s, and move them out and keep them out and jail the CEOs of companies that were knowingly hiring illegal aliens. Simple. That was, what, 25 years ago at least. How come they're not arguing about that? That's the law of the land. And the progressive liberals are always saying, well, you have to obey the law of the land. Well, I think they say as long as we like that law. Yeah. But even then, most progressives are not talking about the root causes of mass movements of people. Some of them do. And I respect that. I know Mike Malloy does. And gets to the bottom of it. Corporations going into other countries to try to get their oil or get whatever they've got and get it cheap. And get cheap labor and all that kind of stuff. And tear up the geography, tear up the environment. Forcefully remove people from their property or pay them pennies on the dollar for it. And like down in South America, where big corporations have cornered the water supply. And the people of the country don't even own their own water. And then the people come out of these places in the Middle East, war-torn places like that, where they're scared to death. So they start moving. That's the nature of the beast. If you're being, you know, brutalized and you got a big problem, but you see, who's causing that problem? Well, Washington and the corporations and the progressives are causing. And the progressives are the ones who want to feed the hell out of the populations of Africa and try to cure them of all their diseases while their birth rate guarantees ongoing horrible living conditions, much worse than under straight tribalism, to be just left alone. To let Mother Nature take its course. So it all comes back to meddling. Meddling by the right, meddling by the left, meddling by the center, meddling by the rich, meddling by the progressives. Everybody wants to tell other people how to live. Now, all we're asking for is separation. We're not asking for occupation. We're not chafing at the bit for genocide like a lot of powerful countries have done, and not during the 40s either. Now, right now, genocide is going on. So our demands are quite simple, territory and separation, and that's what we get. Now, another thing I was thinking about the other day, and I, you know, every once in a while I sit around and think. Well, you got a human brain, part of your brain, that cortex up front. You've got a mammalian brain in the middle. You got the simian brain at the back, or the reptilian brain. Well, for the people who say that we can never come back as a race, let me tell you something. The subconscious is very powerful. And retaining genetic memory is very powerful. And if you simply concentrate from time to time on the hatred you have for the people that are destroying your race, It seeps through the frontal cortex, through the mammalian area, and sinks into the bottomless pit of the reptilian area of the brain. And at some time in the future, when people least expect it, it could come out. Bam! And so too many people think whatever is going to happen has to happen right now, of which we'd all like it to happen right now. We'd like to have a comeback in our lifetime, but that's not going to happen. No, at least in my lifetime, it's not going to happen. So we have to concentrate on funneling our disgust and hatred, I mean really honest, natural hatred, into our memory cells, that this genetic memory can be carried down through several generations, and then all of a sudden, bam-o, it's back with gusto. Think about it. I know that one of my mentors thought about it a lot, and he wrote about it, and that's Jack London. And if you haven't read Star Rover, you should. It's fiction, but I think there's a lot of truth there. There's no defense against genetic memory. Your enemy may think there is, but there isn't. Probably the only defense against genetic memory is a physical lobotomy. And normally they don't want to expose their game that much to go that far to have mass physical lobotomies. Another thing about this so-called Holocaust, many times I've said, to get the argument to quit and go away, I've said, I don't care. Nothing stops the argument faster than say, I don't care. Well, I don't, because care means that there's something you could have done about it, something you could do about it. There's nothing I can do about how many Jews got killed in World War II, whether it be 10 million, 40 million, or 15, any more than I can do anything about people that are dying in the Middle East at the hands of a bunch of crazy religious fanatics on all sides and mixed in with corporate profits. I might as well say, I don't care, because there's nothing that I can personally do about it. Now I can, they go on television, they say, oh, the kids are starving around the world, send your money for these starving kids. But number one, the CEOs that run those outfits are making a fortune off your sympathetic view of life. And it's ridiculous, because you're not causing it. You can't, if there was one thing you could do about it and press a button, you'd probably do it. But in the meantime, for most things that are going on, since we do not have representation as a racial concept and a desire, no one in power is supporting or appreciating our wanting to be separate as a political argument, even as an argument to the UN. So if you have no representation for your beliefs, you have no control over what they're basically doing to you, then your answer to almost every issue on the board is, I don't care. The number one, that keeps people, these lunatics, away from you. I mean, because they assume you're totally mad. And I would just assume have people think I'm totally mad as anything else. What do I care? My lady and I went out for a brunch and or little hors d'oeuvres and a couple of drinks and a little karaoke last night at a local hotel. Young guy come up to me and shook my hand and said he appreciated what I did, and I thanked him. And then I went to the bathroom. Some young guy come in and he says, hey, are you from around here? I said, well, yeah, but I lived in California for a long time. He said, are you famous? I said, I know a lot of people, but I don't think I'm famous. So anyhow, That's interesting how those things go. But who cares whether he thinks I'm famous or infamous or what? What does it really matter? What does it matter if my next door neighbor thinks I'm totally out of my mind? As long as he says hello and leaves me alone and I leave him alone, and if his house is burning down, I'll go help put the fire out. That's all that counts. That's all that counts. So try this next time when you hear somebody into this Holocaust thing. You know, there's a lot of guys on supposedly on our side that are making a lot of money on this stuff. You know, I know Willis Cardo has made a lot of money on it, these people. They're going to keep arguing this Holocaust till they're buried and put in the ground. Because there's money to be made in keeping these kind of arguments going. And that's why one of the commenters and associates to the show is correct. And sometimes we get off on a tangent and we cover one side of a story of what's going on in the Ukraine or like that, and or maybe the other side. And really, what we should say is, as long as it's not helping us or the general idea of the white race and its importance, then I don't care. You want to go out there and kill each other? If you Ukrainians want to kill Russians and you want to kill each other and that turns you on, but you don't want to really talk about saving the main issue is the white race, not whether Ukraine exists or East Ukraine or Russia or Egypt or any of these countries. None of them are talking our language. So next time you're around somebody like that, just say, I don't care, and watch their eyes, watch their face. How do you answer a statement like that? What do you say after somebody says, I don't care? It's pretty brash, but it works. I'm going to do that more and more because I get tons of stuff in here about people who's doing what to who around the world. And I think that in most cases, I should just say, who cares, unless it has to do directly and specifically with unbashful people standing up for the white race. And not people who are saying, well, I'm a nationalist and like that. I mean people who are if they are nationalists, they're absolutists on the race issue. Otherwise, I don't. What was that from the movie Gone with the Wind? Frankly, Scarlett, I don't give a damn. Think about it. You know, other than being religious fanatics, that's sort of the way the Mennonites and the people like that and the operate. And even to a degree, a certain segment of the Mormons just go along and say, I don't care what you're doing. We're doing our thing. And that's it. We don't care. And so you see that a lot among the Mennonites, and there's more and more of them around here. But unfortunately, some of the Mennonites are changing their tune on a lot of things. However, they are religious fanatics, and they even dress like old Orthodox Jews in many cases. So that's another problem. So why don't you try that for a week? And every time somebody comes up to you, whether you're working or who you on the job or wherever you're at, and starts in on this diatribe about something happening around the world, just say, I don't care. Try it for about a week and see what happens. Because they've turned us all into reactionaries. All they do is get us to react, waste our time reacting to everything. We react way too much. But that's how they keep us busy, keep our mind off the important issue, is reaction. The Republicans are total reactionaries. And so are the progressive Democrats in their way. But that's the little game that the ruling class play with us. You keep them always reacting. What do you think to Fox News and MSNBC and all that? It's to keep you reacting, but accomplishing nothing. You know, a typical reactionary thing that's gone on for decades and decades. Man, I've been just as guilty as everybody else being, and every time something new comes up, I go running to listen about the Kennedy assassination. Who did it, who done it, and the whole bit. Well, recently, there's a guy written a book, or he's done a TV show on the fact that pretty much makes sense to me that Lee Harvey Oswald did take a shot at Kennedy, but he didn't mortally wound Kennedy. But the Secret Service guy in the car behind got so excited and flustered that he raised up his weapon and fell back when the car lurched forward and shot and blew Kennedy's head off. And watching the trajectory and his story makes sense to me. So, and I'm sure that the powers that be know this, but it's the best cover-up is to have everything a big conspiracy when in reality it's quite simple and quite embarrassing that a Secret Service man would have accidentally blown the brains out of Kennedy. So anyhow, if you haven't seen that, look it over. Because all this time, I've read about a lot of books. You know, there's Mark Lane writing all these books and everything. Everybody's making money off writing books about the Kennedy assassination. And I've watched it all, and here the guy comes up. No, it was just a screw-up, mainly by this Secret Service guy who went into seclusion and wouldn't talk to anybody for the rest of his life. But if you're like me, I'm inquisitive, of course, and we've spent decades fretting over who killed Kennedy. I mean, I've read all kinds of very plausible conspiracy theories over the years, and oh my goodness, and then a new one comes out, and we go running over there, and look at all the time we waste. And even if it wasn't so that it was a simple screw up by a Secret Service man. Incidentally, those same Secret Service men had been partying the night before up in Chicago and got all drunk up and everything else, and were all hung over. But even if it wasn't that, and there was a grand conspiracy to not have wasted all your time worrying about it, since Kennedy was involved in promoting the civil wrongs bill that's done more to hurt the white race than anything else that I can think of, well, why wouldn't we say, I don't care? And I've sort of went that way for a while about the Kennedys. I don't care. And especially when I know that the Kennedys were involved in screwing Southern white America and the white race, white working people, as a member of the ruling class, so he gets his head blown off. I don't care. Next time somebody gets into all that about Kennedy and the conspiracy, just say, I don't care. And see what happens. They'll leave you alone, believe me. I think from now on, when I send you out stories and so forth that they're all putting out all over the world, and at the bottom is a, what would you call it, a way of getting responsibility for it. Say, at the bottom, your editor says, I don't care. I'll put out the information, but whether I care or not is another thing. But make sure people understand it's because you have no voice. You're wanting a separate geographical territory controlled by the white race and massive programs to protect the white race and to do war against anybody who wants to do hurt the white race, they're going to agree with you because they're not going to agree with you, your premise, but they're going to agree that when you say, I don't care, based upon that, of course you're correct. So other than when you something happens, of course you care about your family, you know, you care about generally the well-being of your neighborhood, because if your neighborhood starts burning down, well, that affects you directly. And these things you care about. Certainly, if the black KKK is burning down the ghettos in Chicago and killing each other and killing everybody that can kill, and even killing white people that are so stupid not to understand the difference in race and about the criminality of the blacks, then who cares about them either, right? Especially when some white woman or girl gets raped and all that kind of stuff and murdered, and the beast that they capture appears in court, and he or she is convicted, and the parents of the child who's been murdered or raped or sodomized or whatever says, oh, no, I don't want to see him get the death penalty. No, I don't want that. I'm praying for that person, and, you know, he's a child of God anyhow. So what do you care about people like that? Here's a perfect example of a story you don't care about. Worcester, Massachusetts, I believe. A community vigil against racism, hate, and violence will be held Tuesday evening at City Hall. Of course, they're not talking about the massive amounts of non-white crime and violence. They're talking about this somebody, a vigil being built as a community gathering for unity. Unity. Unity of a bunch of idiots. What does that solve? Was organized after a hangman's noose was recently removed from the employee area of the U.S. Postal Service branch in Denholm building across from City Hall. Well, who cares? Who cares? They hang crosses, necklaces, and symbols around on, you know, people wear them in on the job, Stars of David, everything else like that. The event is sponsored by the mayor's office, who just wants to use the idiots to get reelected. He'll say anything. And the city manager's community coalition against bias and hate. Well, you're never going to stop bias and hate in a million years for a million different reasons. So who cares? In collaboration with the City Human Rights Commission, the human rights, which is an oxymoron right there. There are no guaranteed inalienable rights, and even human is somewhat debatable. The Worcester chapter of the NAACP, that's colored people. Isn't that racist? If you talked about people in your community and said they're colored people, wouldn't the most progressive say that you're a racist? But here's the biggest black group in the country, National Association, you know, for colored people, they're well respected. How does that work? But who cares? And also the Worcester Black Clergy Alliance. Now there is the biggest fraud that ever existed, and makes black people victims of the same shit that white people are victims of, and that's the spooks in the sky. I mean, the blacks got out of chattel slavery and jumped right into wage slavery, and then they jumped right into the Jewish religious trap. Or they jump over to the Islamic religious nut trap, you know. But they got the Black Clergy Alliance, which is made up of some black guys who have figured, just like white guys, they can make a hell of a lot of money and get a lot of poo-tang by becoming preachers. Organizers are hoping the 5 p.m. vigil will be well attended as a show of solidarity and will serve to affirm that Worcester is not a place where hateful or violent acts will be tolerated. Well, you know, hateful and violent acts go on in every city all the time, whether it's wage slavery or the, you know, kicking the street people off the street, you know, homeless people, you get out of town, Isn't that hateful? It's not hateful. Or do you care? No, no. Since you can't control it, you don't have a hotel you can put them up into, so why should you lose sleep? Anyhow, according to an announcement of the gathering signed by the mayor, Joseph M. Petty, and city manager, Edward M. Augustus Jr. Now, I'd bet anything that Augustus Jr. is black and maybe the other guy is black. This symbol, the most horrific form of intimidation and violence, reminds us all of the shameful history of slavery and sustained violence against African Americans in the United States, said Patricia Yancey, president of the NAACP, in an email to the community. Now, why does a noose just represent that? I mean, there were more white people hung in several decades there at the end of the 1800s, into the early part of the 1900s, or almost as many white people were hung during that period as black people, because they had vigilante justice in the lumber camps and the mining camps out west. And if you don't believe it, go into the L.A. Law Library, and they've got a whole, I don't know, maybe 50 books there covering the vigilante law, which was recognized law back then. Why does it, people they wear the cross around. Well, the cross was an instrument of execution. So I guess wearing a cross around is you're advocating the death penalty, because that's what the cross was for, the death penalty. And if they had executed allegedly the mythical Jesus with an electric chair, you'd be wearing an electric chair down around your neck. There's nothing innately racist about a noose. An NAACP member noticed a noose hanging from the ceiling inside the branch office on June the 12th. It was visible from the customer counter. Well, I think that would be a good sign against crime in general, that we believe you should be hung if you're doing bad things to other people. Now, it just almost psychologically comes back on the blacks, because why assume it's just about blacks unless you feel guilty? Yeah, the NAACP member told the local NAACP, and the organization's political action chairman later went to the office and asked that it be removed because it symbolizes hate and suffering, Mr. Petty's office said at the announcement. Well, you're going to have to get rid of all the crosses and all the Stars of David and all that, especially crosses, because that's a symbol of a method of execution. And so we can't have any crosses around. Get them down. That's naughty, but in reality, I don't care. Now let me see if I can find something else here that I don't care about. Incidentally, these people come together. I see it on TV in Chicago all the time, against violence and this and that, but nothing changes. Nothing ever comes out of these, you know. You get 50 people out there moaning, and you always got some preacher praying that we just got to get rid of this violence, but the violence gets worse. It gets worse. So, just a bunch of idiots. Now, I want to tell you, on the right wing side, I got a notice here today that the Hollywood Nazis, NSM, are advocating people go down to the border and demonstrate against these kids that are coming through. Of course, they're too stupid to realize this backfires on them, and if the Nazis show up demonstrating against anybody, the public's going to take the other side. You know, and the people who are not Nazis or Hollywood Nazis are not going to stick around in a group of Nazis. It's hilarious, but this is the way that some right wing alleged racists want to get their program across. Yeah, you know, we got to all go down the border like the militia and And, you know, I was on that border over and over and over again. Didn't change a damn thing. All the risk and even going into federal court and arguing and everything else that back in the late 70s didn't mean anything. Running for Congress, yelling all over the state, you know, that illegal aliens are going to drown us. They're going to drown us. Didn't make any difference. Nothing changed. So I guess I could have just as well sat on my porch back there in Fallbrook, California and said, frankly, I don't care. Because obviously there was nothing I could do about it. I did everything I could and nothing happened, so there's nothing I can do about it. So how can you care about something you can't change? You just have to watch it crash and burn. The only thing you can do is maybe supply the matches, like I told the Black Panthers and the boys during the Rodney King riot. The press asked me what I thought about. I said, well, I don't have much use for the system of L.A. either. And if these black people need some gasoline and matches and want to march on City Hall, well, I'm sure I could supply them with some. Well, that's the last they ever called me about that kind of stuff. So they don't want your opinion. They only want your opinion if it fits their plan. And you notice these documentaries that I've been stupid enough to make, that they just take everything, cut everything good out, and just put stuff that fits what they want. That's why I'm never going to do another documentary. I'll just, or if they come around to say, well, and they ask me what I think about this, I'll just say, I don't care. Well, what do you think about that? I don't care. Well, what do you think about this? I surely don't care about that. That's the only way we can handle these people, because they use everything we say twisted around against us. Look at that Louis Theroux documentary he did on me. He took massive amounts of great footage, cut it out, and just kept everything in the documentary that could be made to make me look bad. But even then, I will say, we got a lot of positive comment on that documentary. But still, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Louis, don't come round again. I don't care. You know, there's no more hypocritical people than the right wing and the Republicans, and the Christians in general. Right-wing pundits are jumping all over Attorney General Eric Holder for daring to suggest on Sunday that racial animus plays a role in the level of vehemence that's been directed at President Obama. They're denouncing him for playing the race card and stoking racial divisions. Now that is insane. Of course they hated Obama. I mean, all through the Republican thing was anti-black. And they're such hypocrites. They're such hypocrites. And I have no sympathy for them. And I certainly have no sympathy for Eric Holder. But for Eric Holder to say the truth, and people say, oh, no, that's not it. We're not racist against Obama. He's just doing the bad thing. So he says, quoting, who do they think they're fooling? Well, they're fooling a lot of people who are Christian Republican conservatives that are telling themselves every day, I'm not a racist, I'm not a racist, I'm not a racist, I'm not a racist. I know a black man, so I can't be racist. I watch black movies, mixed race movies. I can't be racist. I got black people working for me, making me money. I can't be a racist. The rhetoric is what's hateful, calling people for it is not. The racism Holder described has been obvious since the 2008 campaign, when Obama was portrayed as someone who was not a real American, a Muslim, a Kenyan, a communist, even a terrorist sympathizer. Yeah, it gets so deep, I'm telling you, it gets so deep. And I challenge a lot of these people, these phony, hypocritical Christian Republicans. Of course you're racist. In fact, I'm not as racist against Obama as you are. Because at least when Obama does something that I think is correct as the president, I'm not going to say it was bad if it was not bad. I mean, if I was sitting on a jury in the South and if they had a black defendant, if he was innocent and the evidence didn't show he was guilty, I wouldn't vote to convict. I don't care how racist I am. But these other people would, these good white Christian conservatives, they'd do it day in and day out and then go to church on Sunday and declare before God and man that I'm not a racist like that Tom Metzger. God, I know that goes on around here all the time because they know I've got my website out there on the big sign. And so they get all these Christians and go up there and read it. And then on Sunday, in many cases, they talk, not that they're talking about me all the time, but I know they talk about it quite a bit. Think, oh, I'm just so thrilled. I'm a God-fearing person and not like Tom Metzger. Oh. Since then, an entire movement has been built around the thoroughly discredited notion that the president's birth certificate is a fake. And that's just the beginning. We've had presidents who have been, not long been around this country. I mean, in the beginning, George Washington, wasn't he a British citizen? He did a fairly good job, I guess. I don't know, really. Don't even care anymore. But anyhow, in reality, it had nothing to do with his birth certificate, whether it's fake or not. Newt Gingrich has called Obama the food stamp president and referred to his Kenyan anti-colonial behavior. That's a good example there. Now, the funny part about it is a lot of these Republicans, if this guy as president would have been a black conservative, I forget some of the names of these jerks, or like Clarence up there on the Supreme Court. They're wonderful blacks. And that is a typical ruling class way of thinking. As long as they serve our interests, they're okay. But don't come over and want to date my daughter, you black son of a bitch. No bigger hypocrite around than Newt Gingrich, that's for sure. Unless it's John McCain, they're both about as hypocritical as you can get. And Rush Limbaugh, he said Obama and Oprah Winfrey, too, by the way, have reached the pinnacle of their professions only because they're black. Well, it did help them, but who did it? White guilt is what put them there. White guilt is what made Oprah Winfrey big. He added this week that so-called conservative media types praised Holder's nomination only because he's black. Oh, well, there you go. But what the Republicans don't want to talk about is the fact that if it hadn't been for George Bush Jr. being such an asshole war criminal, you wouldn't have a black president. You know, massive numbers of Republicans stayed home and sat on their hands. And then, of course, the young people who have been totally brainwashed about how wonderful it is, the race mix and all that, and filled with years of white guilt that they've been infused with in all the schools and colleges, they massively went to the polls. Oh, we're going to change the world. We're going to get us a half-ass, half-black president. The insanity of it all. And if that George Bush, that ignoramus bastard, had been such a bad president, you wouldn't have a black president. Now, Glenn Pecker has said the president, whose mother was white, has a deep-seated hatred for white people or white culture. So, why shouldn't he? I don't think we have a great love for black culture, do we? Do I have love for black culture? Hell no. And so, at least half of Obama would be correct. Raised by a race-mixed mother and father, or at least partially raised by a race-mixed mother and father, he would have gotten all that and been very anti-white separatist, that's for sure. So what's the big deal there? Conservative hero and former rock star Ted Nugent, who was invited to campaign with the GOP nominee for Texas governor, called the president a subhuman mongrel. Well, that's his opinion, and probably true, even though he wears nice suits and speaks rather well. He went to Toastmasters Club, I guess. Ted Nugent's totally correct, and whether you want to believe it or not, he's subhuman mongrel. Well, he's an educated subhuman mongrel. Maybe I wouldn't go quite that far, but so what, Ted? Tell them what you think. Fuck them. Free speech. Total free speech. You want to call him a subhuman mongrel? Be my guest. A Confederate flag was waved in front of the White House during last year's Million Vet March. Well, what's the problem there? Confederate flag has become sort of a symbol of resistance. I don't think most of the people running around now have much of a adherence to the Confederate flag because of race. I think a few hillbillies do, but I don't think the majority do. I think that, and of course they always get hypocritical and say, well, it had nothing to do with race. And that's equally stupid. Then U.S. Representative Joe Wilson of South Carolina screamed, "You lie!" during the president's address to Congress in September 2009. When has that happened to a president before? Oh, well, they shot at Harry Truman. They blew Kennedy's brains out. So having someone scream at you, "You lie," well, did he lie or didn't he lie? I forget what the issue was, but he probably did lie. So the guy yelled in Congress. I like the British House of Commons, where they get scream at each other and yell at each other. And I like some of the Asian parliaments, where they roll around and hit each other over the head with things and so forth. I like that. I like that. So for a guy to stand up and say, "You lie, you're a liar," well, that's being honest. He believed he was a liar. He probably was. All manner of overtly racist posters have been seen at Tea Party rallies. Oh, my God. Including one depicting the president as a witch doctor. Well, I went down. I told you I went down to one of these Tea Party deals and met down here on the courthouse lawn. What a bunch of hypocrites. All hypocrite Christians. They prayed for 45 minutes before they ever got to anything political. Drove me crazy. And there at the curb was this $100,000, $200,000 Koch brother bus out there. What was their, I forget what their motto was, making lots of money, I think it was, painted all over the bus. And did any of these Tea Party people come running up to me? "Oh, Tom, we're glad you're here because we agree with a lot of the things you say." No, no, not one. I just sort of silently watched the thing. Because they're not racist, you know. They're not racist. Well, are they racist? Well, if they're racist, they're not good racist. They're not my kind of racist. They're part-time racist? Maybe. But don't ever say they don't love the black race, because they'll say, oh, yeah, that's got nothing to do with it. We're just against black crime. We don't like black crime, and that's what we're against. And but I know a lot of good, God-fearing black people in my church. I love them. Yeah. And we're seeing an explosive growth of radical right groups, including armed militias, since Obama was elected. Wait a minute. We had the same thing under Clinton, remember? Way back there in the 80s and 90s, we had an explosion of armed militias. So I think that they're a little off path there. And repeated threats that violence is needed to take our country back. Well, that's true, but mainly to take our race back, you know. Yeah, of course violence will be used at some point. Nothing ever changes in this world without some violence. And taking it back from the tyranny of Obama, he's no more tyrannical than any of the Republican presidents we've had. The white boys, it's just the black people have learned how to be just as corrupt as the white boys. This is part of a backlash to the growing diversity, race mixing in our country, as symbolized by the presence of a black man in the White House. Well, why would you say automatically he's a black man when he's half white? How come nobody ever says symbolized by the presence of a half white man or a white man in the White House? That seems a little racist to me. Anyhow, that's about it about that, and it's frankly, right-wingers and Republicans, I don't give a damn. I don't care until things start turning our way. Yeah, then I'll care. But until that time, fuck you. Pardon my French. That's the way I feel about it. 14-5. And shut up. Talking among these sheeple out there just causes you problems. They come up to you, talk to you about race, but they're not really racist. They're ha-ha racist. They're part racist. They're phony racist. So if you talk to them much and you give them much information, you might as well be giving it to the Federal Bureau of Integration. See you tomorrow. Wait a minute, what is tomorrow? Saturn's Day. That's right. We'll see you tomorrow, Saturn's Day.
Now, have you seen them flying saucers, or some of them black helicopters flying down low and over my backyard recently? See them foreign troops in ninja suits, leaving imprints of their combat boots in the meadow down near the neighbor next to me. For they're building concentration camps from the rate hike off our postage stamps to protect and defend their great democracy. Though my vote in the last election didn't quite match the same projection, maybe those beautiful talking heads on my TV. And when I called them to complain, and I asked them to explain, they just said that it proves that you're not in the groove of the new majority. Yeah, sure. Well, just between you and me, can't you feel the conspiracy? Can't you sense the hypocrisy? As they call it democracy. Well, it's a threat to your sanity, and not to mention your liberty. And it's all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. Now they've got microwaves and laser beams and rays that look inside your dreams and satellites that can see your DVDs. They got chips that fit inside your head that'll make you think their thoughts instead, and drugs that'll make you do just as they please. And to make things even more serious, they got strains of new bacteria that are surely to cause some unknown new disease. And that's why we got fear and high anxiety and paranoid perplexity and the gradual loss of all our liberties. And as they try to bring us all down, they might leave us with a frown. They might even be the source of all the rumors in this town. Well, just between you and me, can't you feel the conspiracy? Can't you sense the hypocrisy? As they call it democracy. Well, it's a threat to your sanity. behind a wall of masonry. We'll keep working out our salvation with a feeling of fear and trembling, hoping and praying someday the truth might set us all free. Just cause the media won't respond don't mean there's nothing going on. And brother, what'll you do if there's something to all the words inside this song? Well, you can say that I'm wild-eyed, that all my fears are unjustified, or that I'm totally mystified by a man who's crucified. But just between you and me, what hung him up on that tree? It was all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. Yeah, it's all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. Believe me.
Well, you'll have to excuse that crucified stuff at the end, but, well, there's been a lot of people crucified. Carl Klang is a good singer. I like him, but he comes from the old right-wing conservative school, but he does some good stuff. A lot of his songs are very good, other than drifting off into the spooks in the sky. He's a good guy.